tweeted out the letter that I believe it was Judicial Watch and Tom Fitton obtained between the Department of Justice and Pfizer. The Department of Justice admitted that material exists of communications regarding Project Veritas, remember we're a news organization, between FBI officials and employees of Pfizer. So talking about Project Veritas, and in an extraordinary admission, the DOJ admitted that those materials exist. And Tom found this document. I just literally tweeted it 30 seconds ago. I reposted it, and it says the material requested is located in an investigative file which is exempt from disclosure. Tom, I mean, I don't know if you can speak to that a little bit and finding that letter about and it, I think it's unusual for the DOJ to make such an admission, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis. You know, when they say what they said was essentially, we have a file on you, right? There's a criminal investigation going on, and there are communications with Pfizer as part of that criminal investigation. And Project Veritas is caught up in it. And so the conclusion, and of course, contemporaneously, you have been releasing that set of videos, if I recall, with some Pfizer folks and others who were worried about the vaccine safety issues. So, Pfizer is obviously very sensitive here. You know, we have other documents showing how the agencies were working to coordinate and push out these vaccines, which obviously had financial benefits for Pfizer. But I want to go back, if I could, James, to this issue of gain of function and the kind of the bioweapons side of it. You know, looking at the materials that we were able to uncover about what we were doing in China, it's pretty clear that we were running some sort of half-baked intelligence operation against the Chinese. I mean, our partnership, at least with the Academy of Sciences on some of these biological research projects go back to 1983. So, you know, it's hard to tell where one interest ended and the other began in terms of the Chinese and American interest here. But it became pretty clear that there was a lot of investigating going on as to what the Chinese were doing. And what's incredible is there was a Dr. Ping Chen, who was an agent of Fauci, essentially. She was working out of the embassy in Beijing for NIAID. Now, to me, it ought to be widely known that Fauci had a woman in China doing investigations for her and representing his agency in U.S. interest and trying to figure out what the Chinese were up to. You know, as best I can tell, we're the only ones who've talked about her and disclosed her. And it was so crazy. It looks like that we're very worried about what Wuhan was doing. Chen talks about being able to go into the lab and not being able to take pictures and sending back reports and folks treating it like it was an intelligence document, her reports. So we're worried about what they're doing while funding it at the same time, which kind of has kind of the fingerprints of the intel community or that intel operation aspect of it. And of course, you know, when we start asking questions about what we're doing in China, gain of function at the beginning of the pandemic and where it emerged, we're racist, right? And then we started raising questions about gain of function in Ukraine. Why are we maintaining pathogens and other dangerous type of experiments in biolabs in Ukraine? Oh, you're a Russian bot. And the next round I predict with this is you're anti-vax. You want people to die? How are we going to figure this out? It's such dishonesty, and it's all designed to protect very dangerous research, which may have a military application that I would think potentially is defensible. But rather than confront that honestly, they pretend nothing's happening untoward.
All right, Tom, and let's go to Jody O'Malley, who's a whistleblower, not from Pfizer like Melissa, but of HHS. Jody, what is your reaction to this latest expose? Jody, your story on HHS in the emergency room there was probably one of the most watched videos in Project Veritas history. What's your reaction to this report, Jody?
Well, first of all, I am so stoked that we have a platform now that we can speak uncensored, because when my story was released, even though Project Veritas was banned on Twitter, I think it got like 5 million views in a couple days. And so I just want to say to everyone, you know, that, I mean, ethics are compromised in every single facet of our society, right? And so we have to all be citizen journalists. Pull out your phone, James, like you say. Pull out your phone and record what's happening. You know, it's like we all have a responsibility here. Everybody's saying that, you know, nothing is getting done and nobody pays for it. But you know what? Me recording in that hospital and showing what was happening in real time and people's true thoughts and opinions, we saved, I'm going to guess, millions of people from getting the vaccine. Right? I mean, I get so many people reaching out to me, like thanking me for releasing it and saying, I knew something was up. I knew something was up.
Jody, remind people what you exposed in that, and what was the headline there and what you caught on the camera in the emergency room.
So it was called, I think our tweet was called vaccine, HHS vaccine whistleblower or something like that. But what I had done, for everyone that doesn't know, I am a master's prepared critical care nurse. And throughout COVID, I worked in the ICU, ER, and hospital supervisor. So I saw all facets of how our government ran and how all of the protocols were just directly coming down from HHS and seemingly disseminated overnight, that all hospitals in our country, you know, doctors, you know, advanced practice nurses, people that got on board with this protocol that completely violated our ethical principles, completely. Informed consent was taken out, you know, and like I said, people did not want to take the vaccine. When it first came out, there was only like 25% of the population that did. And then in September, October of 2021, they started really throwing the hammer down everywhere and saying, oh, you have to do it to keep your job. And then they got about 50% more. So about, I would say, probably 75% of the population is vaccinated, if you're including all of the people that got the religious exemptions, the medical exemptions, and then the fake vaccine cards, right? So many people were like, you know, I'll just pay for a card. And they were able to, you know, continue working. But, you know, it's like we were able to. So what I exposed essentially was I pulled out my phone, for everyone that's not aware. I pulled out my phone and I started recording cases of myocarditis in young, healthy people, people that just took the vaccine. And then a couple of days later, I was in there with myocarditis, pericarditis, congestive heart failure, pharmacy that's not.
And you recorded your colleague in the emergency room saying these things were happening, and you know, we may not have reported it, and these sorts of things. Jody, we'll go back to you. I want to go to, we got two doctors holding. This is Dr. Tal Braun, U.S. National Counterterrorism. Dr. Tal, what's your reaction to this latest Pfizer video blowing up the internet right now?
Well, first of all, like a lot of people, it's so vital for me to thank you for your work, and also just thank everybody that is participating on this call. My reaction is, you know, thank goodness more and more information is being released like this that is just much easier for the public to digest, to understand. A lot of this stuff needs to be broken down into layman's term. And I think it reminded me of sort of this moment that I remember where Albert Baller basically said that they were competing with Moderna, you know, that they had to work so quickly because otherwise Moderna was going to, you know, capitalize this sort of opportunity. And I think that what you're seeing here, like a lot of people have mentioned, is sort of this brazen approach, corporate speak, forgetting sort of that the world is not seeing this in the same way or sitting in on the same meetings. And I think that more and more of these moments, you know, that like this moment where people get sort of caught red-handed, and we can, you know, use these as more opportunities to demand answers. I think they're absolutely vital. in moving us forward. I think my biggest concern with this at the moment is that in predicting their behavior, I think that at some point there will be a sort of a feeling that's put out, and then some course of action that starts reining this in. And as somebody that works within the space of bioterrorism prevention, I think the next trick that they're going to pull is basically just word change. And I think that my concern over here is that my research has brought me to just looking at that the technology has moved into the space of synthetic peptides with high levels of pathogenesis. And so let's say they just change the word and stop using the word virus, stop using the word gain of function. There is such limited regulation over an entire industry now that can just make synthetic toxins that can wipe out a whole city. And, you know, I think that that's their next trick in sort of just slipping, sleight of hand over here and sort of, okay, well, we'll behave now. But then the rest of this industry that builds deadly toxins, you know, just carries on doing what they're doing in labs and, within research projects all over the world.
Well, and thanks, doctor. This is,